Turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Joshua, chapter 20. Joshua, chapter 20, following all the territories that were divided out by Lot. All the 12 tribes received their inheritance. And here we find part of the giving of different cities for refuge to Israel for a particular reason. Six cities, in fact. Joshua chapter 20. This is God's word. Then the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel, saying, designate the cities of refuge, of which I spoke to you through Moses, that the manslayer who kills any person unintentionally without premeditation may flee there, and they shall become your refuge from the avenger of blood. He shall flee to one of these cities and shall stand at the entrance of the gate of the city and state his case in the hearing of the elders of that city. And they shall take him into the city to them and give him a place so that he may dwell among them. Now, if the avenger of blood pursues him, then they shall not deliver the manslayer into his hand because he struck his neighbor without premeditation and did not hate him beforehand. He shall dwell in that city until he stands before the congregation for judgment, until the death of the one who is high priest in those days. Then the manslayer shall return to his own city and to his own house, to the city from which he fled." So they set apart Kedesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, and Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. Beyond the Jordan, east of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the wilderness on the plain from the tribe of Reuben, and Ramoth in Gilead from the tribe of Gad, and Golan and Bashan from the tribe of Manasseh. These were the appointed cities for all the sons of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them, that whoever kills any person unintentionally may flee there and not die by the hand of the avenger of blood until he stands before the congregation. Now that's God's word. May he bless the reading and expounding upon it. Here we see the six cities of refuge set up by the Lord, when the Lord instructed Moses to set them up before they entered into the land in Numbers 35 and Deuteronomy 4 and 19. These cities, as we learn in this chapter, were to serve as a temporary and or ongoing place of asylum for those guilty of unintentional manslaughter. Accidentally killing someone when you had not premeditated upon it or hated the person, as we see in this passage. So the example in Scripture we see earlier on in Scripture is the two men who go into the forest and they go to cut down trees, and one man's axe, the axe head falls off and strikes the other man in the head and he dies. And so he accidentally kills the man. So it's for that kind of person, the one who accidentally kills someone. And the first man should go to one of these cities of refuge until the man's case can be judged properly. This is our Lord showing that he values life. He values the life of the one who commits manslaughter, and he also values the life of the one who died. The justice and that should come from that. This is our Lord showing that he values life. Yet, for the man who accidentally kills another, there was still a penalty. Even after the case is decided, the man, verse 6, must remain in the city of refuge until the high priest, when he had killed the man, dies. He couldn't leave until the high priest died. It doesn't really say why. Maybe for a period of time to pass, so the avenger of blood, the one who would want to avenge the blood of his loved one, would kind of cool down, maybe. It doesn't say. He also can't leave the city. He's confined there, because if he does leave the city, then that avenger of blood could come and kill him and put him to death because he killed the person whose blood was spilt. And so we find here the reality, not only that God values life, but we see the reality of His justice towards His people. We also see His mercy. Verse 9. These were the appointed cities for all the sons of Israel and for the stranger who sojourns among them. Not only for the sons of Israel, not only for the Jews, but for all who sojourn among them. This is our God who includes the sojourner within His justice because He includes him in His love. As we learn that in Deuteronomy 10:18, which says, He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. This is the vastness of God's mercy, that He doesn't only have it for His particular physical nation, but it goes to the sojourner, which in time would include us, the Gentiles, and we'll learn this evening. The ones who are far off, He brings near. The Gentiles who are far off, He brings near. That's what we're going to learn in Ephesians this evening. This is cause for us. We see, as we see the glimpse of God's justice, His mercy and love, His character, we see, it's cause enough for us to worship Him for the rest of our lives because He is a great God who values life, who values our lives. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your greatness, Your love towards us, which is even to those who are far off. You bring near to You by the blood of Christ. Here we see the example of the sojourner, the one who was far off and who dwells among Your people. Lord, we think of the ones who are possibly far off from You and from Christ and this congregation. We pray for their souls, that You would bring them near to You, that You would show them Your love, just as You showed here in the Scriptures, Your love for the alien, the one who wanders and the one in the wilderness, the sojourner. Be merciful to such people, to our children, to any here, and to our family members who are not here, and our distant relatives who do not know You. Lord, bring the message of the gospel to them and cause them to be brought near to You. My Father, we also praise You for Your justice that You bring the right punishment at the right time. That for sin, there is deserving Your justice and punishment for that sin. We've seen in Ephesians 2 already, those who are dead in their trespasses and sins, and they are by nature children of wrath. Because of Your holiness and because of Your justice, they're by nature children of wrath. Because sin cannot be in Your presence. Things that are, and people who are unrighteous and unclean cannot be in Your presence. And so we praise You for Your justice. That for Your people even. Your justice went upon Jesus on the cross, and it was satisfied. So now, as we worship You, we have no fear of death. We only enjoy Your love. We thank You that as You look upon us, You see Christ's righteousness because of Your justice. Lord, we do not deserve it, and Christ did not deserve His the penalty He took on our behalf. And yet, He took it for us. He loved us who were far off. He loved the sojourner so much that He died on the cross for our sins. We praise You for that, Lord. Lord, any here who are struggling in their faith, those are your people, those who have been brought near. Cause them to see that they have been brought near and that you love them and that you will not cast them out no matter how much difficulty they are going through right now. You love them. And though they deserve great pains and hell even forever, you have shown mercy. You have not given them what they deserve. Lord, cause us to be a repentant people. As we see your greatness and redemption and Christ's sacrifice, we pray that we would be a people who are joyful with great gratitude for all that you've done for us despite our sin. Though we didn't deserve it, you gave it. And so we pray that we would respond in holy and reverent and wonder and awful worship. And Father, we pray that you would hear us because we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.